Greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your speaker today is John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas. Now, I'm going to speak to you today about the longest word in the Bible. I'll give you the opportunity to make a guess, and we may have occasion to refer to the shortest word in the Scriptures, and then again the sweetest word in the Scriptures, and the saddest word. Now, that'll give you an opportunity to be thinking just a little bit before we open up the Word of God. Now, just exactly, what is the longest word in the Bible? You can think, for instance, of some long words in the English language, or perhaps in some other languages, and even words that are so long that require the major part of the alphabet to be able to spell that word out. But listen, I tell you in the name of God, and without any trickery, we're going to call your attention to what is the longest word in all the Bible. At least it certainly is there as setting forth what will be true in experience. Now, this is the word, and I think we should perhaps turn to the Scripture itself and read it, and then see what the Word of God says. You know, I'm amazed at Paul the Apostle. On not only one occasion, but on several occasions, he could say, "What saith the Scripture?" And we do remind our hearers so frequently that the question of questions must be settled ever and always in the light of the Word of God, or "What saith the Scripture?" or "Thus says the Scripture." And I'm sure I wouldn't want to pillow my head upon anything less than God's precious holy word in time for eternity. Because, you see, everything else in reality is as shifting sand. Now, there was an advertisement not too long ago, something like this, in front of a huge structure, a place where the gospel apparently was told out. But I thought the words were most attractive and real, too. It read like this: "A changeless Christ for a changeable world." Think of that, a changeless Christ. Now, everything changes round about us. Things that are in vogue today, perhaps in a matter of 2, 3, 4, 5 years or such a matter, well, they'll be discarded and so on. But you know, when we come to the Word of God, it's the book that's up to date in everything. Yes. It tells the past, it tells the present, and it tells the future. And I'm sure if you get to the Word of God, and this is another thing we want to stress, and we frequently stress in our messages to you, we would like to stir up a real interest in reading the Word of God. And you know, there's only one thing I can think of that's better than reading the Word of God, and that's to obey the Scriptures. You see, there's a Scripture that says, "What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of Christ?" Now, it's possible for a man or a woman to have heard and yet not to have obeyed that gospel. Now then, I'm going to ask your attention, please, to the prophecy of Isaiah, and I want you to listen very carefully while I read to you that verse where we find the longest word in the Bible. And this is how it reads: "For thus saith the High and the Holy One." And that word "one" is spelled like this, with a capital O, O-N-E. "Thus saith the High and the Lofty One that inhabiteth," now here's the word, "eternity," eternity. Now, to my knowledge, this is the only time the word "eternity" is found in the Bible. Of course, it does have the equivalent again and again. For instance, I shall call your attention to a passage that's found in the book of Micah, Micah chapter 5, and about verse 2 that says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me one that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from of old, from everlasting." Then again we read, "Thou art the everlasting God." The everlasting from eternity to eternity. Oh, I want all who hear me today to think that word over. Think it over carefully in the very presence of God, eternity. Now, it's hard to tell where you'll be in perhaps 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30, 40, 50. And I have no doubt that the major part of all who hear me this day in 10, 20, 30, 40, or 50 years from now will be out of this scene, and then you will know the reality of eternity. You see, it is the place from whence no traveler ever returns. Now, we can move from place to place here in this scene. If we don't like it here, we could go south, and if we don't like it in the south, we could go north, we could go to various continents and spend days and weeks and months and years there. Listen, once a man or a woman, a boy or a girl leaves this scene, you have reached, now listen to the words, weigh it carefully, you have reached your eternal destiny. Think of that word, eternity. Eternity where? Oh, eternity where? With the loved ones in glory or fiends in despair. So that all who hear me today, and yes, I can go outside of my listening audience and I can say to the entire world that we are all creatures of eternity. Yes, indeed we have. We possess a precious, priceless, never dying soul that will exist forever. Of course, if one is saved, it would be to spend it in the glories with our Lord Jesus Christ, then to celebrate the grace and the salvation of our God forever and ever and ever. I tell you, precious words those are. Fills one's heart with unspeakable joy even to contemplate that word, eternity. And yes, eternity would even be far too short to tell the worth of the glories of the Son of God, that one who loved and gave himself for us. Now, I shall not proceed further today other than to the first word, the longest word in the Bible. And we look at the others perhaps in another message to you. But I wanted to notice something very special in connection with the one who is from eternity to eternity, the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now, if you would just listen to this for a moment, it says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler over Israel. Now, this one who is spoken of here in prophecy, of course he came. And you see, he didn't get the throne. No, no, he was not permitted to reign. But you know, he is going to reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. He will reign forever and forever. And he's going to rule over that people, over the nation Israel. Yes, the greatest people perhaps on the face of the earth. But now listen, if you want to know that you're going to reign with one Jesus Christ, with our Lord Jesus Christ, for all eternity, I'll tell you what has to happen in your life. Now, it doesn't make any difference where you were born. It doesn't make any difference as to your training. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't advantages there. Yes, indeed, there may be. But listen, what we're trying to stress in the closing moments is that being raised under the best possible influence that could make you a better citizen, and that would be wonderful, that could make you an honest, a reliable young man or young woman, or a man or a woman when you grow up that would be of real reputation and be respected in the neighborhood and respected as far as your name goes. But listen, that wouldn't fit you for the presence of God, nor to reign with our Lord Jesus Christ through the ceaseless ages of eternity. Ah, I think I hear some of you saying today, I'd like to know, since that word eternity oh so long. Now listen, I have read of an illustration that goes something like this. You can suppose a bird coming from a distant land, will say once every 1,000 years. Well, let's make it a little smaller. And here's a pile of sand that may contain millions of tons. And so that little bird carries away one tiny grain of sand in its little beak and returns again and repeats that process again and again once every 1,000 years you could imagine a time when that pile of sand, that huge pile of sand, would be exhausted. But eternity rolls on and on and on. And if saved, well, yes, when we've been there, we sing. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less to sing his praise than when we first begun. But, oh, my unsaved friend, if you haven't trusted him, if you haven't received him, if you haven't made him yours, we want you to know that you'd be shut out, outside in the dark, forever and ever and ever. Yes, when you might have been brought into the place of blessing. How could I be brought there? Listen to this. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Hear this, will you, too. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, receive him into your heart today. Say to him, Lord Jesus Christ, though a sinner, and though in doubt and uncertainty, up until the present moment, you're the God that inhabits eternity, and you sent your Son to die for me. I'm going to embrace him, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with me. And then I'd be saved and saved for all eternity. Now, we thank you for listening in, and we'd like to encourage you to write us and let us know if you're receiving help. This address will reach us, Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas. May God stir you up and save you for his great name's sake is our prayer to God.